Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. Appreciate you being here today. It's Wednesday, and what a day it is. Kamala Harris speaking more nonsense in Philadelphia yesterday. Got more audio for you. I don't know what she was on, but something, that's for sure. I don't know what they're giving her, barbiturates or something to calm her down, maybe, because they're worried about the cackle. I don't know, but she's definitely off. There's no doubt about that. And I'll tell you something else, too. You know, Trump had this event with Sarah Huckabee Sanders last night, and he said that he thinks that, well, he said a lot of people have said China created COVID because they don't like him. You know, that's 100% a theory that should be explored, whether or not China created COVID in a lab, a bioweapon to hurt the United States of America. I've got news for you. Biowarfare is new. It's not new. It's been around for a very, very long time. And China makes everything these days, so why wouldn't they make a bioweapon? And we know it was a bioweapon. We know that. We know that COVID was made in a lab. It wasn't an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. And we also know that it escaped from the lab. And we know that the first time it escaped from the lab was when the United States military was over there for the World Military Games. That was in the fall of 2019. So is it possible that China created a bioweapon to hurt the United States of America? You're damn right it is. We were hurting them with tariffs. They didn't like Trump. And one could argue it worked. And they also have a population issue in China. You may have heard that, too. So it's not like they really worry if they lose a couple million people in that country. Sad to say, but I don't think you should rule out anything. The only thing you should rule out is that it was a bat burger. That's it, because that's the only thing that doesn't make any sense. Other than that, don't rule a damn thing out. Remember, it was the Secretary of Energy who was over there in 2019 warning about the fact that the Chinese military was in that Wuhan Institute of Virology, and they were messing around in there. You know, there was a time when we used to dismiss all that stuff, but you can't dismiss anything anymore, not in this day and age. Breaking news, the Teamsters Union, for the first time since 1996, will not be endorsing a candidate in the presidential race. That's a win for Trump right there. Not that it matters. I don't think it matters. I don't think the endorsement of these unions matter, because I think that the average union guy and gal, you know, those union guy and gals, they don't listen to what the union leadership has to say. It's like the auto workers in Michigan. They're gonna vote for Trump. They don't care what Sean Fain has to say. Those guys work for a living. They don't run the union for a living. But nevertheless, you know what happened, right? The leadership of the Teamsters probably wanted Kamala Harris. The members did not. And they had a battle and they had a struggle. And then they decided, well, we're just not going to endorse. And I think that not endorsing is a win for Trump. Not, again, like I said, I don't think these endorsements matter as much as people think they do, but nevertheless. All right, so the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, is that the Fed cuts interest rates for the first time in 4 years. With 48 days before the election and early voting underway in some places and about to start here in Pennsylvania, any moment now that ballots can go forward and be printed. after they've resolved some legal challenges and some court cases. So, yeah, is it going to help Kamala Harris? Yeah, it will. No doubt about it. It may not help in a massive way, but this is going to be a very, very close election. Every poll that you look at right now, with the exception of the Gallup poll that came out today, which is a total outlier, shows that this is an incredibly close election. So a little bit here, a little bit there helps. And certainly no doubt about it, these guys want to help Kamala Harris. No doubt about it. They do. They want to stop Donald Trump. And that's part of what they did today. So we'll talk to our buddy, Dr. E.J. Antoni, about this a little bit later in the show. And Gavin Newsom, the tyrant of California, with that lovely coif of hair. Gavin Newsom has signed a bill into law that says if you make a deep fake, they'll go after you. Jail time. That's right. If you make a political deep fake. What is a political deep fake, you might ask? It's a parody. It's satire. If you take a politician and you make a phony video of them or something like that, well, there you go. Now that's against the law in the state of California. You can't do that anymore. So you can't ridicule politicians in California. It's so antithetical to the First Amendment. It's completely unconstitutional. There's no doubt about that. This country has a very long history of mocking our politicians. We lampoon them in cartoons. We used to do that since the days of the founding of the Republic, even before so. And now deepfake's even the wrong word for it. They're just parodies. They're parody videos. It's all. You take a candidate's voice or a candidate's image and you make a parody video. And the standard is, the test is it over the top? Is it over the top enough that a reasonable person would conclude that that's parody and satire? And if it is, then it's protected speech. And especially if you're dealing with a public figure, and especially if you're dealing with a politician, because then you have the highest protections of freedom of speech right there, the highest. David Urban will be on the show later today, tweeting out a short time ago, with the internal poll numbers below, how could the Teamsters leadership ignore their rank and file members and not support Donald Trump? I guess we'll have to wait until tomorrow. Hashtag Teamsters for Trump. The Teamsters released presidential endorsement polling data. And this is very, very interesting. From April through September, the Teamsters Union conducted in-person straw polls and commissioned independent polling of rank-and-file members nationwide. The question was, who should the Teamsters endorse for U.S. president in 2024? Between April 9th and July 3rd, 2024, they picked Joe Biden over Donald Trump. Then, when Joe Biden got out of the race, from July 24th to September 15th, 2024, it flipped, with Kamala Harris getting 34% of the support from the union, and Donald Trump getting 59.6%. So just think about that from the perspective of, oh, Joe Biden leaving the race was such a big, big, big boon to the Democrats, right? Such a big boost. Not so much. With Biden in the race, the Teamsters members, with their town hall straw polls, gave Biden 44.3%, Trump 36.3%, and RFK got 5.6%. So assume that support went over to Trump for the most part from RFK Jr. Kamala Harris gets in the race and that flips on its head. And now the union members, even the research phone poll of Teamsters members conducted between September 9th and the 15th, Trump 58%, Harris 31%. And, you know, unlike other polls, you can't skew this poll. You're just polling union members. You know what I mean? You're just polling the Teamsters. So you know your audience, and your audience is a dead lock of who those members are. So based on that, if Biden had stayed in the race, the Teamsters Union would have backed him. Most likely, Kamala's out, or Joe Biden's out, Kamala's in. They decide they're not going to endorse anybody because their members want Trump, and the leadership probably doesn't want to endorse Trump, although the head of the Teamsters Union did speak at the Republican National Convention, which made the Democrats very unhappy. Now, I think the reason for this is because the members know, the Teamsters members know, Trump's better for the economy. I mean, she may come out with her platitudes about unions, but when she speaks about jobs and she goes after, say, the Green New Deal and all the other nonsense, they know that that means their jobs. It's like the auto workers, too, in Michigan, the same thing. Come out with EV mandates, go with these ridiculous fuel standards that'll make gas cars basically illegal or so cost prohibitive that companies will stop manufacturing them, which leads to less jobs. And the auto workers are going to turn around and go, I don't want this. The hell with this. I think one of the biggest reasons, too, is that Trump came out and he said that any company in America that decides to build in America, hire American workers, they're going to get a 15% tax break, a corporate tax cut, I should say. That's huge. Trump leading Harris in the poll of Teamsters members is a big, big deal. That's an absolute disaster for the Democrats with Biden dropping out, because you would have thought, hey, that same support that Biden had would just transfer over for her. Not so much. Not so much. That's a big blow to Democrats. Even the far right wing Washington Post with the headline, Teamsters will not endorse for president in blow to Democrats. That's the headline from the far right wing Washington Post. Isn't that something? Truck drivers. Yeah. All these guys who work for a living. All these people that work for a living in this country. TheHill.com with this piece. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters will not issue an endorsement in the presidential election for the first time since 1996. Teamsters General President Sean O'Brien said neither major candidate was able to make serious commitments to our union to ensure the interests of working people are always put before big business. Oh, that's BS. The fact is that the members wanted Trump overwhelmingly, and the union leadership, because those guys don't work for a living, they just run the union all day, they didn't. And that's the bottom line. They backed Biden in 2020, and they've consistently supported Democratic presidential nominees in recent election cycles. The union notably waited to announce its endorsement decision far longer than other unions and labor organizations, including the United Auto Workers, the National Education Association, Service Employees International Union, and the AFL-CIO, which all endorsed Biden, then Harris, after the president dropped out of the race in July. The Teamsters have endorsed GOP presidential candidates in the past, including Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush. And O'Brien's flirtation with Trump and Republicans sparks speculation the union could once again break from the pack. 44% of union members polled between April 9th and July 3rd backed Biden, compared to 36.3% for Trump. Polling in the wake of the Republican and Democrat Party conventions found the Teamsters members support Trump over Harris. A union commission survey conducted by an independent third party between July 24th and September 15th, 59.6% of Teamsters members voted to endorse Trump, compared to 34% for Harris. This is a big deal. In a separate poll, Teamsters commissioned another poll during the week ending September 15th. So this is really, really fresh. 58% of Teamsters members voted to endorse Trump, compared to 31% who voted to endorse Harris. You get over 50% in any poll, and that's a big darn deal. That's a big darn deal. You know what I mean? Like, nobody gets 50%, over 50% of a poll. Where they really don't. They really don't. And that's the thing. So to get that 58% and then one of the biggest unions in the country is massive. Massive. But I think it also shows you just how they know Kamala Harris is bad for business. They know Kamala Harris is bad for business. 1.3 million members, one of the largest labor unions in the world. That's something. It is also the most diverse union in the United States. The Teamsters represents everyone from A to Z, from airline pilots to zookeepers. One out of every 10 union members is a Teamster. And they have their members, they have their convention, they have their general executive board, they have their trustees, they have their legal department, they've got all the suits, and then they got the working people. There are hundreds of Teamsters local unions across North America. The local unions and their members are the heart and the backbone of the union. Unlike other labor unions, the Teamsters union is structured to promote strong local unions and strong local leaders. Since the locals negotiate most Teamsters contracts and provide most of the service to the members, they keep most of the dues money. Locals retain their own labor lawyers, certified public accountants, full-time business agents, organizers, and clerical staff. Now, think about something else, too. And that is that in 2016, we saw the exact same thing play out. I remember it so well. Back then, the unions were backing Hillary Clinton. They thought she was going to win. They wanted to be on her side. But every time you drove past construction workers, guys in hard hats, they all had Trump stickers on their helmets. And declining to endorse Harris or Trump is a win for Trump. It's a message that says we know the members are with Trump. We know that the leadership isn't, because they're emboldened with Democrats all across the country. You got to remember, too, a lot of these unions, it's all about local politics, and they got to do business and negotiate contracts in a lot of cities, a lot of Democrat cities, and they don't want to make the Democrat local officials angry. So unlike, say, a union that just operates at the top and only has to worry about dealing with Congress or something, the Teamsters, they got to deal with the city of Philadelphia, they got to deal with the city of New York, they got to deal with Chicago, they got to deal with all these Democrat strongholds. So they're reluctant to make them angry, and they know that these Democrat politicians want them to back Kamala Harris. But their members don't. So by not endorsing her, that's a win for Trump. It's a big win. I doubt they were ever going to come out, considering the structure of this country in politics and how Teamsters have to deal with all kinds of Democrat politicians across this country. I didn't think that Trump was going to get the endorsement. But for them not to back Harris when they were going to back Joe Biden, and everybody up until this point has said, oh, Joe Biden getting out of the race is the best thing that could ever happen to Democrats. It's a fresh start. It's change. Oh, it's change, all right. Not the change you're hoping for. It's change. It's change in the opposite direction for them. Joe Biden had this whole line of BS about being a union guy, but I think a lot of them genuinely thought he was at least able to speak their language. He said all the right things, fighting for labor, fighting for right to work, against right to work and all the other stuff. But Harris is an empty suit. And I don't think they think for a second that if the choice came between, say, climate change or their jobs, that she would pick their jobs. And the other fact, too, is that Trump has come out and he said, I want tariffs against companies that make stuff overseas. I want big tariffs. And that may not play well with a lot of economists, but it plays well with guys that work for a living, guys and gals that work for a living. They love that. It's music to their ears. Bringing American manufacturing back, bringing American jobs back, a 15% corporate tax rate for companies that do business in America and hire American workers, all that stuff matters. But this is the first time that we can actually really quantify the difference between what the members of the union think. And so close to 60% of them want Trump. 60% of the Teamsters want Trump. So it's not just a simple situation where you turn around and you go, all right, well, how's the disconnect between what the workers want and what the union leadership wants? Like that guy, Sean Fain, who runs the auto workers, that guy's a commie, man. He's a total commie. And he hates Trump's guts. He hates him. But he said, he acknowledged once, I remember this, he said this on TV, he said, I know that a great majority, not a majority, a great majority, and there's a difference, a great majority of our members are going to vote with their paychecks. What does that mean? This is when Biden was still in the race. He said that. That means that even though we're backing Biden, I know that most of our members are going to still vote for Trump. That dude had to acknowledge that on national television, and that had to be embarrassing for him. Here's a little bit of Trump in Michigan last night talking about jobs and auto plants and everything else. And you can understand why people that work for a living are backing Trump. Let's start with cut number four.
We are going to bring so many auto plants into our country. You're going to be as big or bigger than you were 50 years ago, because they won't be able, if they're not willing to build a plant, we don't want their product. And that's enough. That's all I want. And it'll happen fast. It'll happen very fast.
I think it's safe to say that Michigan is happy that you're going to be president again.
If you work for a living, you're backing Trump. Bottom line, you're backing Trump. And that's just the bottom. If you are in any industry that involves building something, you're backing Trump. And a big part of the reason for that is energy. And you've seen the energy costs yourself, and you've seen those energy spikes, and you know that that has had a direct impact on inflation. And despite what the Fed does today, it's not going to be enough to just dramatically change the economy because energy is still the driving factor in all this. I mean, yeah, the Fed has played fun and games all these years. Of course they have. Quantitative easing and their nonsense. And the spending of this administration, absolutely. But the average worker in this country knows that bringing American manufacturing back, trying to do something about foreign manufacturing, and going after and making American energy the primary driver of the economy, all those things help them and their bottom line. Bottom line, here's a Michigan auto worker who was speaking last night at this town hall, which was hosted by Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders in Flint, Michigan. It's funny, you know, years ago, Roger Moore made a movie called Roger and Me, all about Flint, Michigan, all about when the Ford motor plant there closed up, and or it was GM, I forget, one of the motor plants closed up, and how it devastated the city, devastated the area, devastated the town. Many years later, when Trump was running, Michael Moore was asked about Trump, and he referenced that. And he said, you know, the thing about it is that Trump relates to these people who've seen the vanishing of their cities and their towns when American manufacturing went overseas. It's also echoed in Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance. It's echoed by J.D. Vance in that book and the movie, too. It's the same thing. And hey, Pennsylvania's seen it firsthand. Pennsylvania's seen the effect of not only manufacturing leaving, but also the war on energy, the war on coal. If the Democrats want to do a war on fracking, Dave McCormick has a great new ad out where he talks about the impact on jobs if they go after fracking in Pennsylvania. And yeah, there's 100,000 workers, give or take, that are actually in the fracking industry. But all in, it's like 375,000 Pennsylvania jobs that would go away if fracking went away in Pennsylvania. So it's a big deal. So here's a Michigan auto worker, cut five.
And tonight we have a question from one of the auto workers, Isaiah, here in the audience that would like to ask a question.
Good. Sure. Where's Isaiah? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
We'll build a brand new beast. We're going to build a beast right here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President, for having us here tonight. I just want to let you know that I've attended one of your rallies. I did not leave early, and I did not fall asleep. Just want to let you know that, sir. I did not do it. I didn't see any.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody else doing it either, sir. My name is Isaiah. I'm a third-generation UAW worker, working hard to build trucks here in America. Yes, yes.
Get ready. You're going to be doing plenty of it.
Thank you, sir.
That's the thing right there. That's the thing. If you are a working person, you work for a living, you're a working guy, you're a working gal, you're backing Trump. That's the bottom line. You're backing Trump. This is a big deal. It's a big deal that the Teamsters did not endorse for the first time since 1996 because the majority of their members wanted Trump. And they may have backed Biden. They probably would have. They probably ultimately would have endorsed him. So don't sit here and tell me that Biden getting out of the race was this amazing thing for Democrats. It may have been in the sense that you got a senile old man who poops his pants out of the race. I get it. That's good. That's a good thing. Less senile old man who pooped their pants, probably helpful, but she doesn't stand with the union people. They see right through her line of BS. They see through it. And they could put up with Biden and his senility and his poopy pants, but they won't not put up with her empty suit. They just won't do it. They see right through it. Right through it. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We got a big show coming up. We got a great guest coming up, too. I'm very, very excited to talk to Doug Collins, former member of Congress. This guy's a badass. We're going to talk to him straight ahead. So Big show. Big show today. Don't go away.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Big day today. Breaking news. Overwhelmingly, by about 60%, the members of the Teamsters Union all say they back Donald Trump. So their union leadership has declined to endorse a candidate for the first time since 1996, which I think is a huge win for Donald Trump. Here to talk about all these things and welcome back to the show. Follow me on X at Rich Zeoli. Want to welcome to the show Doug Collins, former member of Congress, who was the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee and a senior advisor to the America First Policy Institute. Hey, Doug, it's great to have you on the show. Really appreciate your time today. How you doing?
No, I'm glad to be here. Everything's rock and roll. We're in those last 50 days now, so it's a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, first of all, about the Teamsters and their overwhelming support for Trump?
I think it's what we're seeing, and we've seen this before, and it's a shame that the Teamsters won't just go ahead and reflect their membership. That's the part that bothers me the most. But look, the Teamsters, we want the votes. I don't care where they come from. I think it's a strong showing that the workers understand who's the better president.
Yeah, and it's like the union workers, right? In Michigan, the auto workers. You know that Sean Fain backs Kamala Harris, but the workers, they're all with Trump. And he even acknowledges much, too. He said the majority of our members are going to vote with their paycheck. That means they're going to support Trump.
Yeah, and what's sad, though, is he is taking from their paycheck to support somebody else. And that is, again, where the disconnect comes from leadership and labor and the rank and file in labor is really amazing. And at some point, look, you know, that's going to have to come to a reckoning. But right now, look, we'll take the votes and they can take the leadership.
By the way, I want to thank you for your service as Air Force chaplain. Today, of course, is the 77 years of the United States Air Force. Also Constitution. Well, yesterday was Constitution Day, but... good time to have you on the show. So thanks for your service and your service in Iraq. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, Air Force is great. I spent 23 of those 77 years and I got probably a couple more left. So, that's my Air Force.
Well, that's good. Well, we appreciate it very much. Let's talk about the assassination attempts, plural now. Hard to believe I'm saying that, on Donald Trump. The United States Secret Service is going to brief lawmakers on the assassination attempt. Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat, a Trump hater, he's incredibly frustrated by the way they're stonewalling here. I'm sure you must have a ton of questions for them.
Oh, on which incident? I mean, that's become the biggest issue. You go back to Mueller, you go down to down to Florida, and then the reports are, and I've not seen confirmed. You may have had some more. I've been on the road today that there was actually some explosives discovered today outside where the Trump rally is, or Trump meetings are tonight. So, look, my question is, what are we doing? Are we not getting enough resources there? Are we not putting enough people there? Is there some kind of a negligent disconnect between leadership and what's actually going on the ground? Mueller is very concerning, and I think, I'm glad to see Democrats are upset about that as well, because that showed what they ran into in Butler. If they may not, in Florida, maybe a little different story, but actually when people were killed in Butler, Pennsylvania, I almost always forget that. We always talk about it as an attempted assassination of Donald Trump, but it was a complete murder of others. And I think that's, we never can forget that. And the Secret Service has to deal with that responsibility, because they tried to, in turn, cover themselves by blaming the locals. And the locals said, whoa, 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 you're not blaming us with this. We asked you, we told you, you said you would handle it, and you didn't do it. That's the concern that I want to see them get to. And let's have some people fired or moved because of it.
Yeah, I agree. And the fact that we still don't have Donald Trump at presidential level of security, Mayorkas yesterday says it's approximate to the level of protection the president gets. Trump's a former president who's running for president. We haven't had a situation like this since the year, 1912 or something like that. I mean, we should obviously be treating him like he is the president in terms of security, because this is unprecedented right now.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't trust Mayorkas with numbers, percentages, or anything else, much less the protection of our border, our presence, and going on. He is completely incompetent and should have been, look, if Biden had any leadership about him, he would have let him go 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And to think that he still has a job is just amazing to me. And to know that everything, you know, it's funny. Everybody talks about the border. Nobody talks about Mayorkas. Everybody talks about Secret Service. Nobody talks about Mayorkas. They're all, I mean, he is the responsible person. You know, it goes back to the old saying, you know, that if you look around and the teams at work are Susie and George are bad, Ralph and George are bad, and Tim and George are bad, pretty soon you figure out that George is bad. And Mayorkas is the bad link in all of this. And yet we still have to deal with the stupidity of what he does.
Now, let's talk about the fact, and it's great to have Doug Collins with me, former member of Congress and just an all-around fighter for liberty and freedom and a patriot. Follow him on X at Rep Doug Collins and subscribe to his podcast, the DougCollinsPodcast.com. It's a great podcast. It's terrific. Kamala Harris trying to pretend like she wasn't the border czar, you know, like she had nothing to do with this. And I mean, it's hysterical. My favorite line still to this day, I think, is when she said, "I haven't been to Europe either." I love that line.
Yeah, I'm glad she hasn't, because when she did, 2 days, was it 24 hours, 48 hours later, Russia invaded Ukraine. Maybe we keep her out of Europe for a while. there's a pattern developing here, if you notice, in the Biden administration among these folks. But look, she doesn't want to be called the border czar. She doesn't say that. But also, frankly, over the last little bit, she also doesn't want to be called vice president, except when she needs to catch a ride on Air Force Two, because she doesn't want to be tied to the Harris administration. And I've just determined for the next 40-plus days that I'm calling it the Harris administration, because if they can dump Joe Biden and never talk about him, so can I. So she's vice president. Every bit has went on in the last 3.5 years. She's the last person in the room. She is the one that is responsible. And the border, like here in my home state of Georgia and other places, whether if you're, we have Lake and Riley, we have all these mothers who were killed, we have these people who are dying every day at the hands of illegal immigrants in this country who shouldn't be here. And then you have the fentanyl crisis, which you know, is just exasperating the problem all over. The problem that we have under Harris and Biden, but under Harris, we have had the unfortunate reality of the United States is completing the cartel's contracts. They're raping, maiming, abusing, and killing all the way to the border, and then sending them across and letting the American government complete their contract. And I think if people don't get that, then people are just not paying attention.
Okay, I agree with everything you just said. But, you know, this is the first time we have had no active duty military members serving in hostile zones overseas, Doug Collins. I mean, come on, what do you say about that?
Are you just trying to make me ill on my Air Force birthday?
I'm just making sure you're paying attention. You know, I mean, come on.
Oh,
it's Wednesday, so.
Look, that to me, look, everything else you put aside, that comment, that right there, is disqualifying right there. She disqualified herself from being president of the United States in my eyes, in my mind, a long time ago, but that one just solidified it. When you've been sitting in briefings, when you've been there for 3.5 years, when you know that right now we have probably 4,000 plus or more, and again, being in the Air Force, I know, because I have our troops all over the country, you know, in the world, I know this, and she has the audacity to say that. One of the best things I saw on social media was some folks, some of our soldiers were watching that on TV, and they turned it around and said, like, where in the heck are we at then? You know,
yeah.
It is sad, but it is so disqualifying, because if you have been in a position of leadership and you have that much disrespect for our military, then you just need to, you know, stop, quietly pack it up, go home in January, and think about what you did wrong.
I actually retweeted a little video you posted on X, and you said, while Kamala Harris may not have known it last week, there are active duty military members serving in hostile zones overseas. And starting today, Georgia is sending out ballots to our brave men and women who are serving overseas. That's great. I love that. And I retweeted that, by the way, because I think, you know, you're welcome. Georgia is a state we got to win. And I know the video you're referencing when all these people said, "What? Where the hell are we then? All these guys who are serving our country, yeah. Like, where the hell are we?"
Yep. Well, it is. But it shows also, doesn't it, Rich, the disconnect between this administration and what's happening in the real world. I mean, it's amazing to me. And now, you know, even as hard as they try, the three main networks and, of course, MSNBC and the rest of them, you know, they try so hard to cover this up. But the reality is, they can't cover it up, because now they're noticing that everything she memorized for 3.5 weeks to get to the debate last week, she's now just repeating anytime she's asked a question. She has no new ideas, no new thoughts, no new anything, but yet she's just repeating what they drilled and drilled and drilled into her to just if they say economics, say I was raised by a middle-class family and we cut our lawns in the front yard to look good. I mean, just the mumble. But that's what she's saying, and they don't want her out there. Have you also noticed that after the first night after the debate, there's been no call from Harris and them for the most part to have another debate?
Yeah. Yeah, they said it right away, and then they backed away. And that's, you're right. I mean, she did this interview locally here in Philadelphia the other day. It was a joke. They asked her what she's going to do in the economy. She starts talking about people being proud of their lawns, Doug Collins. I mean, it was like, wait, what? Yeah. Because, again, to your point, she gives scripted, rehearsed answers. She can't think on her feet. If she doesn't have a teleprompter, she can't deliver a message. And we've seen candidates like that over the years. This is a real problem, and I think it goes back to what we said at the start of this interview together. It's why the Teamsters, the members of the Teamsters, know Trump's better on the economy for them.
I mean, unfortunately, it seems like you can pull the wool over the eyes of the elites and media and everywhere else, or at least they just don't want you to think it. But you're not going to pull it over the folks who get up every day. All the thing they worry about is feeding their family, getting to work, making sure they're making their bills, and keeping a job. That's what they're concerned about. That's what really resonates. That's why Donald Trump has refashioned a large part of the Democratic base, has moved to the Republican base, because they said they're just tired of being ignored and being pandered to. But I have a question for you. I mean, because that Philadelphia interview last week, we got the raw clip. We saw what the answer, but yet when it was actually aired, they edited it down. Please tell me that the folks in Philadelphia are holding that station accountable for that false interview that they put out.
Oh, we certainly are. We played both versions yesterday on my show. Just so you know, we played both versions side by side so everybody could hear it and hear the distinction. And all weekend, we were putting it out there on social media as well. But it's a great example of the local ABC. It's an ABC station. So there's a pattern here, right? The local ABC station covering up for her, just like national ABC did, by not fact-checking her on a damn thing, including the fact that she said we have no members of the military in any active hostile zones right now.
Yeah, it's just amazing to see. But then again, remember, it's amazing to see, but it's also not hard to understand. And I tell people this all the time. The media was complicit in the Joe Biden coup, okay? They thought he could slide by in June and then just never do another one and get him through November, and then whatever happened after November would be fine, and they would do it. But when he just completely lost it on the stage in Atlanta in June, the media, along with the Obamas and the Oprah Winfrey's and the Clooney's and others, had to get rid of him. Well, the mainstream media covered all that up. And so now in May, they were saying she was never mentioning Vice President Harris to replace Joe Biden. It was always Whitmer or Newsom or somebody else. But now they said, oh, we can't let her go because the base would leave. And so they're having to cover up. So they're in full cover-up mode to protect their candidates.
It was great chatting with you. I really hope you come back on the show. Keep up the great work you're doing for the America First Policy Institute as a senior advisor. Thanks again for your service in the Air Force. And subscribe to Doug's podcast, the Doug Collins Podcast, the DougCollinsPodcast.com. It's a great podcast. Absolutely go ahead and do it. And really, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it very much.
Appreciate it. Look forward to it. Y'all call anytime. Take care.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And, you know, we are going to be back at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, coming up on October 11th. It is our Friday, not the 13th show. It is Friday, October 11th, and I'm excited. And here's the thing. The Grand Hotel now has a special code just for you. That's right. It's my name, Cioli. You put in my name, Cioli, you're going to save 25% when you're booking a midweek stay from now until the end of the year. There's no minimum stay required. You could just do a night. You can do two nights, three nights, whatever you want. 25% off. All you got to do is go to grandhotel.com or call them at 800-257-8550. Put in my name, Cioli, and you'll get 25% off your midweek stay. No minimum required. It's great. So go ahead and do that today. Grandhotelcapemay.com. And we'll be back on October 11th. I'm really excited about that. It's going to be a great live show. Our live shows are always fantastic. They're always a ton of fun. Hijinks ensue. And the Grand Hotel is beautiful this time of year. It really is. Cape May is just gorgeous in October. There's always something going on. Fall festivals. They have the indoor heated pool, arcade room for the kids, and Hemingway's restaurant. Great food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Great cocktails as well. So go to Cape May this October and enjoy it. Or make your holiday plans there, too, because they always do something fun for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. Christmas in Cape May is huge. Either way, go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, put in my name, Zioli, and save 25% off your midweek stay. No minimum required. Can't be combined with any other offer, but you're going to save some real money by doing this. And mark your calendar. Friday, October 11th, 3 to 7 p.m., our next live show at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Thanks for listening to the Zioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
You know, if I were you, I would disregard the latest Gallup poll on Pennsylvania as an outlier that is not accurate and reflective of other polls. Any poll that shows such a massive swing is something that I would just say is probably not going to pan out in the long run. I'm not one of those guys that goes, oh, if I don't like a poll, I'm going to say it's a fugazi. I'm not saying that. I mean, Gallup has a decent reputation. The problem is, though, is that they tend to skew more Democrat in terms of their respondents. That's number one. Number two, it's just such an outlier compared to the other polls out there, because the poll out of Gallup right now shows Kamala Harris has a pretty decent lead in Pennsylvania by outside the margin of error. And there is something else, though, about the Gallup poll that came out, and that's Trump's favorability, which is now at 46%. Kamala Harris's favorability is at 44%. Trump's unfavorable rating is 7% higher than his favorable score. However, Harris's is 10% higher. And Trump holds a favorability edge over Harris with independents 44% to 34%. If you look at the historical trends of Trump's favorability, in 2016, he was at 33% favorability. He's at 46% now in 2024. And he won in 2016 at only 33%. So he's at 46% now, and I think he's going to win again. But just understand that, you know, this the Gallup poll that came out today, it's kind of, the left is going crazy with this poll, and they're tweeting it out today, and they're going, oh my God, there you go. This shows that her lead has increased, and this is it, you know, the big debate bump, the big debate bounce. This poll is an outlier compared to every other poll that's out there right now, literally. So I'll get into that in more detail with you in the next hour, because I like numbers. I like breaking down this stuff. I don't think it's necessarily done to skew anything. The last thing you want to do right now is give overconfidence. It's like polls are definitely in many cases designed to move the needle on things, but you also don't want to give overconfidence. Like, you don't want Democrats to think, oh, they got it in the bag and stay home, too. So that's a problem if they were trying to put that out there to say, like, oh, look, Kamala has all this momentum. That's a risk for them. I'm betting that in the latest round of polls that came out, did I say Gallup? I'm in Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac. I misspoke. I was looking at Matt DeSantis' text. See, DeSantis, you distracted me. That's your fault. You distracted me with the Gallup text, which I appreciate. That's good information. But you distracted me because then I said Gallup instead of Quinnipiac.
That is not on me.
That's 100% on you and your Nutella bologna eating brioche bun sandwiches.
I don't like Nutella. 100%. No, the polling from Gallup was interesting. I sent it to your
Gallup
way.
Gallup is correct.
So sue me.
Quinnipiac is the one I was talking about, not Gallup. I confused the two.
I don't know how that's my fault.
I blame you, because as I was about to go to Quinnipiac, I get a text from you, brand new Gallup poll,
no,
and I... That happened at the exact same time.
That is not true. I sent that Gallup text about 20 minutes ago. You just didn't look.
I had Doug Collins on. I was focusing on my guest. I was listening. I was paying attention to what my guest had to say.
Well, sorry.
And you
I
were
apologize.
Dreaming over there about brioche bologna sandwiches and Coca-Cola.
I always dream about those things, but it's irrelevant to this topic.
It's amazing. Amazing. Well, it is the Quinnipiac poll, not the Gallup poll, that I want to talk about in the next hour, that I'm looking at as an outlier here, because it is so outside the realm of all the other polls that we have been talking about. But we'll get into that. And Gallup doesn't do daily presidential polling anymore. They do favorability polling. They've kind of changed a couple of methodologies since 2016. Kind of boring, but I'll get into that with you as well in the 4 o'clock hour. Plus, Donald Trump speaks about the assassination attempt last night to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And Kamala Harris rolls out a brand new fake accent. Just when you thought you've had enough Fugazi accents, she's got another one. Another fake accent. How many now? I can't keep track. But her accents are more fake than her policy positions. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.